As promised, we're joined right now by the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. He was named the Pacers head coach last week. He spent the previous two seasons as an assistant in Toronto. He won an NBA championship with the Raptors. He also spent time as an advanced scout with Toronto and player development coordinator and assistant coach with Phoenix. Indiana coming off a season where they were 45-28, second in the Central Division. We are joined by their new head coach, Nate Bjorkgren. Nate, it is great to have you on the show. Nate, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, Nate. I've been looking forward to talking to you too. It's been over a week since you were named head coach. I got to ask, you spend your entire life, and we'll get into your journey, which is amazing. When you put in the time and you've made the sacrifices you have made, what has the last week been like for you?
Very busy and exactly the way it should be. I've spent most of my time and the first amount of my time I spent contacting the players, and they were reaching out to me. So a number of phone calls and text messages with them. And it's been great. There's a great feel here, Jim. Like a great, and overlooking our practice facility right now. And it's an honor to coach the Pacers.
It's got to feel great, Nate. I'm going to do the best I can to do justice to your journey in a short interview like this. But if you could take me back to the very beginning, you grew up in Storm Lake, Iowa. What was life like for you there? And how did you first get hooked on the sport?
You know, I had, you're exactly right. It was, I got hooked on it. Watching it on TV and trying to mimic what I saw on TV to go out into my driveway and shoot on the hoop that still stands today. I think it was put up in 1985 by my dad, and that basketball hoop meant a lot to me. And I tried to dream big and wanted to play in the NBA, and I wasn't. I found out quickly I wasn't going to do that. So I wanted to coach in the NBA, and here we are.
Nate Bjorkgren's joining us. You know, there's a legendary story, though. When you were playing ball at Storm Lake High School and you were facing Washington High School, in the first half of that game, you got hit in the head and you were bleeding pretty profusely. Seems to me most people in that situation might get medical attention, maybe sit out the rest of the game. That's not what you did. What happened next?
To this day, it's a very good friend of mine. I was actually dribbling. They kind of had a trap coming on me. I was just getting across half court, and his elbow came down right on top of my head and split me open pretty good. And the blood was coming out, but I mean, I just kind of put my hands up and showed my coach. I go, hey, what should I do? And he said, you need to go to the hospital. So my dad, obviously my mom and dad were at the game and the place was packed, and he took me to the hospital. I just put a jacket on over my uniform and went to the hospital, got stitched up and came back there like late in the third quarter. And we won. It was a great game, a memorable game, and we were a tough team to beat. The team we played was like ranked second or third in the state, so it was a fun little memory to have.
Like I said, legendary story from that time at Storm Lake High School. So then you start your college basketball career at South Dakota. One of the assistant coaches there was none other than Nick Nurse. What do you remember about meeting him for the first time, and how would you describe the bond that the two of you have?
Very good coach, and Jim, I knew of him even before I played for him at South Dakota. As you know, he's from a town called Carroll, Iowa, which is about an hour away from Storm Lake, and he won a state championship, and I was actually at that game. So that year of 1985, again, I was 10 years old. I was in attendance of that state championship game with my dad. My dad did a great job. He always would drive me around to the nearest game or the best game that he thought that I should see, and we'd always go to the state tournament. So I knew of him when I was there. He was a great coach then, just as he is now, and just the amount of time that he put into it. I wouldn't say it was a special bond at that time. He had bigger players to worry about than me at that time in my first year there, but I'll never forget it.
Indiana Pacers head basketball coach Nate Bjorkgren is my guest. Now, Nate, after your college career was over, you returned as an assistant under your high school coach, and then you get a head coaching job at Sioux Central High School. Is this true now? Were you also the assistant baseball coach, the junior high football coach, and the bus driver for away games? Is that all true? And if so, what were those days like?
It is all true, and I was at a very young age, and it made me grow up in a hurry. I was head basketball, assistant baseball, junior high football, And then they did. They required their coaches to get their CDL license so they could drive the bus to the road game. And then I taught a number of different classes, you know, U.S. history and PE and weightlifting, you name it. So it made me grow up in a hurry, gave me a lot of responsibility, you know, at a young age. And I'm very, you know, thankful for that. I wouldn't trade my path for anything.
So, Nate, I'm really curious, like, in that moment, what were the types of things that you were thinking about? I mean, was there a grand plan to be an NBA head coach? Was that somewhere written down? Was that the plan, or were you just so caught up in the moment that you couldn't think that far ahead? Like, what was your thought process at that time in your life?
It was always the plan, but it was one of those things that just kind of kept growing. So I was happy there. I was a head high school coach. All those duties that we just named, I was very happy. There's people at that school that are still my friends to this day. But there was just always things itching at me. Then I wanted to coach in a bigger city. Then I wanted to coach pro players, you know, which was the D-League. Then, you know, so it just kind of continued to grow. But the goal was always to be at the NBA, no question.
All right, so ultimately you move to Arizona, you get to the D-League, and you find Nick Nurse, who you'd reached out to. He'd been hired to coach the Iowa Energy in the D-League. In fact, he offered you a volunteer spot. He said of you, quote, "He didn't have any money, and he's a volunteer, and he wouldn't go away." And I was like, it's the D-League. I guess I got one assistant. I'll take another one if the price is right. So he hung in there. He volunteered. I think in year two, we paid him $500, I think. In year three, $2,500. And the other guy finally left, and he made $25,000 in year four. So he was beside himself. Hard to control at that level, end quote. Man, what were the D-League years like? And were you really working for $500 and $2,500 a year?
Yep, you're right. That's exactly how it went. And it meant a lot to me. I was, you know, Nick Nurse and I, you know, Coach, he gave me so much responsibility from day one. It's been about 14 years ago now, and we did. We lived it, breathed it. We did everything we could about basketball, especially after that first year together. We thought, okay, we have 1 year of experience in the D-League under our belts. Here's how they're going to attack this moving forward. And it was. That's exactly how it planned out. And we were tough to beat there with the Iowa Energy and you know, just the games and the situations. And, man, if you could write a book about the crazy things that we saw there in the D-League, I don't know how many people buy the book, but I'd like it.
Oh, I would. I love it. I love it. In fact, Nate, I go way back with Eric Musselman. He and I are the same age, and I met him when he was 23, and we used to talk about the days in the CBA, and the stories are amazing. Yeah. The stories are wild, and, like, if you're a coach's coach like you guys are, that stuff is the absolute best. And, like, you and Nick win a title with the Energy, and then you're the head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors, and then you face him in the D-League Finals when he was with the Vipers. After the series, Nick did say to you, quote, "I think you and I could both do this at a higher level." What do you remember about that moment?
That was the exact moment. It was one of those things. It was a great regular season. He had a great team. I had a great team, and we communicated throughout the regular season like a lot. But then we were on different sides of the bracket, obviously, when the D-League playoffs started, and our communication started to get shorter and shorter and shorter, because we both were working hard towards getting to those finals. And I remember there was probably the longest I've ever gone without talking to him. It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks there where we didn't speak because we were getting ready to play. And you're after the game, so there's no reason why we couldn't do this at the next level. And he was right. It meant a lot for me to hear him say that. So that was a memorable series.
He is the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, Nate Bjorkgren, my guest. We talked for a few more moments. I want to make this point clear, too, Nate. You and Nick obviously are very, very close. You have a great relationship. I know that you've got a ton of love and respect for him and vice versa. However, this is not the only guy. Let me read you a quote from Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry said, quote, he's speaking about you now, quote, "I would say he is the bleeping man," end quote. Like, I've got so much respect for Nick Nurse and Lowry. What does it mean to you to hear Lowry call you, quote, "the bleeping man"?
It means everything. My relationship with him, is he's the best. I love him for everything he is as a basketball player and the man that he is. And the friendship that I have with him, he's really something. As you know, the way that he plays, the look in his eye, the way that he can lead his team. I mean, he's taken charges in all-star games. He takes charges in practice. He's so tough to handle on the offensive end. He's a very good one. And now I'm going to coach against him, so we're going to throw everything we can at him when we see him.
He'd expect no less. All right, so Nate, what about the Pacers? What kind of a style of play are you looking to have with the Pacers? What are your Pacers going to look like?
Yeah, this is a nice team here. There are some very nice pieces. Love the roster, love the depth. We want to be disruptive, you know, on both ends of the floor. Like, we want to be in attack mode. You're going to see, you know, we want to change things up defensively so the opponent just can't get comfortable on us. And I'm not here to do it in a crazy way. I'm not, oh, we're just going to play box and one or triangle and two just to say that we played them. You know, we have to be strategic in getting to the defenses and getting to the changes that we want to make and just kind of build the trust and the confidence through the players here in Indiana as we can get more and more creative along the way.
I like it. One last thought. You come into a really interesting situation in that there's been a discussion as to when the season's actually going to start. So how are you approaching this job and the uncertainty with the league's schedule at the moment?
Use it to our advantage. Like, all through the 22, 23 years that you talked about, I tried to coach in every possible league that I could or every possible situation that I could. I've had to get my team ready to play in 3 days. I've had to get my team ready to play in 3 weeks. So it's one of those things that no matter when the game one is set and training camp is set, we'll be ready to go.
It's kind of cliche, Nate, but it's true. You have been preparing your entire life for this moment, and here you are. Indiana 45-28 this season. They were second in the Central. They've got a new head coach, Nate Bjorkgren. Nate, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate the conversation. It lived up to the hype, and I know and I hope that you and I will be doing this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed our talk.
Me too. Nate, really enjoyed it. Great to have you. Congrats. And I know you got a lot of work to do, but congrats on that opportunity. You earned it. 1-800-636-8686. I want to say this about the Pacers. Traditionally, they have been an awesome jungle team. Traditionally. I mean, this goes way back. Back to the 90s. They were always a good, good jungle team. Players, coaches, management. Donnie Walsh back in the day would come on the program. So there's a lot of good, good vibes and good karma with the Pacers. And hiring Nate Bjorkgren, that's going to continue.